This is the KPFT local station board regular meeting, September 13th, 2023. I am Susan Young, the board chair. We are calling to order at 7:05, and there have been requests for excused absences. I see that one of the requests is, may not be needed. So I saw Lillian Kerr. Are you here? Yeah, there she is. Okay. So the requests for excused absence are Deb Shafto, Richard Uzel, Egberto Willis, and Venetia Williams. Is there any objection to the excused absences?
I object.
Madam
okay.
Chair, Adriana, I have a question before.
Yes.
Don't we need to make a roll call to see who's here?
No, we start with the excused absences and then we make the roll call.
Okay.
Okay, so there's been an objection.
Request for information?
Yeah.
What are the protocols for objecting? Is this a main motion and is it debatable?
What's the motion?
His motion is to object to the taking, to the approval of excused absences.
How can you approve or disprove an excused absence? I don't understand the request, Ed.
Well, of course, but so, point of order, Ms. Chairman.
Yes.
I don't know how you can take a vote if we don't have the roll called so we know what members are available to vote. So I do
think. Thank you very much, Mac. I think you're absolutely right.
I'm ready to do the roll call.
Excellent.
And today is the 13th. Okay. Alan is here. Alan is present. David Britton.
Here. Present.
Thank you, David. Got you. Lillian Kerr.
I am here.
Thank you, Lillian. Okay. Adriana Casanave.
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Faust, Henry Faust.
Yeah, I'm present.
Thank you very much. Robert Gartner. Not hearing Robert Gartner. Okay, Wally James. Not hearing Wally. Mike Lewis.
Mike Lewis.
Wally is there.
Wally's here.
Thank you, Wally. And I also heard Mike Lewis. Bob Locander.
Here.
Thank you, Bob. Mary Ann Martinez.
Present.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Sean Kelly McPherson.
Indeed I am.
Thank you very much. Sister Mama Sonia. Not hearing Sister Mama Sonia. Frank Pratka.
Present.
I do see Sister Mama Sonia. Okay. And I think I just heard her voice then too. Okay. Thank you. I have her now. Nancy Zabarin-Aratomi.
Present.
Thank you very much. Got that. Jane Scheidler. Not hearing Jane. Deb Shafto. Did I hear that there's a request for excused absence from her?
Yes.
Okay. All right. William Stone.
He said he'd be late.
Okay. Okay. Currently not here. Joseph Davis. I'm not hearing Joseph Davis.
He's here.
Uzel is, I'm sorry?
He is here.
Okay.
Joseph, speak up. We can't hear Joseph.
Okay.
Joseph, I suggest you drop off and come back on.
I can see him. Okay.
We need it verbally on the record.
Okay. Joseph, can
Please
you say
drop
something?
Off and come back on, Joseph.
Okay. Can't hear you. Okay. Richard Uzel has requested an excused absence, I believe. So I don't see him on. And I don't hear him. Sandy Wyman?
Present.
Thank you very much. Ted Weiskel?
Here.
Thank you very much. Vanessa Williams? I do not see here. She here? She's requesting.
She requested an excused absence.
Thank you very much. Egberto Willis?
He requested an excused absence.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Susan Young?
Here.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is Joseph. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me know I had an audio problem.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Madam Chair.
Okay. So, is there any objection to the request for excused absences?
No.
Question, Nancy.
Yes.
I did not get an email from Deb. Did she send an email to you or somebody?
She called and tried to email, and there were problems with her communication, and I will follow up. There's a question from Adriana, The rule is the will of the board, and we will be voting on it. Ted, I believe, objected. LSB. Adriana. Okay, you've taken your hand now.
You already answered that.
Okay. So there's been an objection from Ted. Ted, do you wish to speak to that objection?
Yes, and in particular, I'm on a special committee that is supposed to plan the town hall meeting. Since last month's LSB meeting, there has been no announcement of that meeting.
So Ted, I don't believe that has to do with the excused absence. I believe that has to do with, is there a report from the town hall meeting?
The person who is requesting an absence for tonight is the chair of that committee. She has not made any indication that she has done anything related to KPFT. It has been my long held belief that you either do the job, or if you miss three consecutive meetings, you should let someone else do the job. I don't think we have any record of how many people have missed three consecutive meetings.
Ted, we do, and we can provide that to you. So are we ready to vote, Madam Secretary?
I do not want to have a vote. If I'm the only one holding this up, I want to move on. I've made for the record my complaint, and I will withdraw so we can expedite the business of tonight's meeting.
Excellent. Thank you. Agenda approval. You all received the agenda before. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Yes.
Who was Sean? Okay. And that was Mike. Okay. Is there any objection to the approval to the agenda as published? Hearing none. Minutes. We have twofold. We have the August
information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did we miss the part now that we've done the roll, that we ask for those people that request excuse?
We already did.
Thank you.
We asked. Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you.
Ted objected. He withdrew his objection because he was the only one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So minutes. We have August minutes outstanding. We also have a motion to amend the July 14th minutes. I request that we postpone consideration of both of these until the October meeting so that our regular secretary can be here and help participate in that conversation. I make that motion to postpone. Is there a second?
Jane Seidler is in the meeting.
Second.
Excellent. So Teresa seconded. Is there any objection to postponing consideration of the minutes until the next meeting?
Question, Madam Chair.
Yes. Adriana?
Yes. Madam Chair, you said that I think that we don't need the approval of the board to accept corrections. I think that every member need to send their correction, and that would go into the
Actually, we do need a motion, a approval of the board to amend the minutes. So
no, because the minutes even start. We didn't even have it.
We approved the July minutes last meeting. There is a motion to amend, which can come forward, and I'm asking that we postpone it until the October meeting. If we need to vote on this, we can.
Let me know when I can
hearing
finish.
No objection.
Let me know when I can finish.
Okay, please finish.
Thank you. What I'm trying to say is we never, our practice was always till now, and it's in Robert Rule of Orders too, that the correction of the minute, we accept the correction of the meeting of every member, unless that what the member is saying is not true, but we have it recorded.
So,
we
Adriana?
We need a motion of the board to correct the minutes.
You object, Adriana? We're going to take a vote on this.
I didn't say that they object. I'm asking why we are changing in this case.
And what I said is the minutes are approved by the board. Any amendment to the minutes needs to be approved by the board. People should have the chance to go back and listen to the record if they wish to. So if you are objecting, we're going to vote on postponing consideration of both sets of minutes.
Point of order.
Okay. Who's that?
Ted.
And Teresa had her hand up. Teresa, then Ted.
Yes, to me, if we just follow the logic, I'm saying, Adriana Casanave is saying all amendments to change the minutes have to be approved automatically without even a vote. And that does not make sense because anyone could say, I want the sky is green to be added to the minutes. If there's no vote on it, that just doesn't make sense. So just as we pass the minutes, if there's any motion to change them, then the body has to deal with that with a vote.
Thank you. Ted, you had a point of order.
My understanding of Robert's rules in terms of approval of minutes is that approval is not appropriate. The chair should ask for additions or corrections. If there are no additions or corrections, then the minutes are filed for the record. If there are disputes, then those areas where there are disputes is referred to new business, and that particular part of the minutes is either addressed there under new business or referred to a committee where the dispute can be rectified.
And so, Ted, our practice has been simpler than that, and I'm going to go forward with what our practice has been. The July 14th minutes were previously approved. You say if there is an objection, those objections, which were not raised then, are addressed individually. We will do that at the next meeting.
Point of order, Madam Chair?
What's your point of order?
You said July 14th twice. Isn't it the July 12th?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, apologies. I am very bad at dates. Thank you very much. So both of those will be, I think there has been, I have answered the points of order. And so do we need a vote on postponing the August minutes and the July and any motion to amend the July minutes until the October meeting. Okay, hearing none, that's been approved.
Madam Chair, I think this might be a point of personal privilege. I'm a little rusty. This is Jane Scheidler. I just want it noted for the record that I've joined the meeting.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. Okie dokie. Here. All right. KPFT community engagement town hall preparations. And Ted, I think this is where you've got a comment.
It is my understanding that I was added to a committee of three. I don't remember who the other individual is, but I have heard nothing from the chair of this event. It's supposed to be held in October. I am concerned about the fact that the publicity is not out, that the location is not firmly established. I am concerned that the chair of the committee that I think I am on has not called any meetings since our last LSB meeting. If the chair would like to put me back in charge of this event, as I was for the last town hall meeting, I would take that challenge on. If you want to consult with the chair of the committee and then get back with me after you've done so, that would also be acceptable to me. But it seems to me that we need to move on this thing or we are going to have the dismal turnout we had the last time.
So, Ted, I think that that's a good way to proceed. I will consult with Venetia. If I recall, the two of you collaborated last time. We were in the middle of COVID, and Sandy got COVID at that meeting, and we had the meeting both in person and by Zoom. Thank you for your offer. I will follow up with Nisi promptly. Okay, KPFT LSB committees.
Can that be included in the minutes, what we just decided, what you just said?
I'm fine with that being included in the minutes.
Madam Chair.
It can be in the minutes because it's action by the chair.
Madam Chair, point of information?
Yes, Teresa.
Can it be put this way? Ted Weisfuhl concerned that he has not been contacted for preparations of town hall meeting. We still do not have publicity, date, and location. The chair will consult with Venetia Williams and get back with the LSB and Ted Weisfuhl. Is that okay?
Is that okay with you, Ted?
LSB including Ted Weisfuhl.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Okie dokie.
Madam Chair, I have a point of order.
Sorry, Joseph.
Yes. My point of order is we are in an ongoing breach of the bylaws and the delegate seats held by members in excess of their term limit are blocking the ascension of runner-ups. Runner-ups are protected.
Okay, and Joseph, I'm going to call you out. I'm calling you out of order, and I'm interrupting you as what you're bringing up is deleterious, and I have already written to you more than once about this. The matter of the extension of the six-year terms was decided by the PNB and has been litigated with the court. The court did not reverse the PNB decision. You are not an attorney. You are not somebody who can opine about that matter. You've brought it up at previous meetings. You're bringing up now is deleterious. And if I would like to take a vote on it. Teresa?
Madam Chair, you are not an attorney. You are not an expert. And I have the right to raise a point of order.
I am the chair of this
board. So are you going to allow me to raise my point of order or not?
No, because you have already expressed it in past meetings. Bringing up continuing breach is deleterious. Okay.
I disagree. I have the right to the Robert's Rules of Order to bring this up.
You, and I have the right as the chair to stop you from wasting time by bringing things up that are dilatory. Teresa, you've got your hand up.
So
Teresa.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So Joseph Davis is bringing a point of order. You are calling him out of order. And are you saying he has appealed your decision?
I believe so.
I have.
Thank you, Teresa, for making that clear.
Okay, so do we need to have an argument pro and con before we vote on this, or not?
We have already had an argument pro and con.
Okay.
Joseph,
Chair,
has
we have not discussed your objection.
Excuse me.
You just are saying this is a different point of order. You're raising a point of order saying I can't speak. So that is what we are debating to at this point.
I am raising the point of order that if a member of the body is wasting time because something has been addressed before, that the chair can call you out of order for continuing to speak.
Again, I haven't got a chance to speak to your ruling against me.
And I think you should have the chance to speak against the ruling against you. Now, is it the first, as you point out, there are two rulings. One is that you should not continue speaking. The second one is, can you challenge, the ruling of the chair on the point of order?
Right now, you asked about, you're interrupting my point of order. So we're discussing, you're calling me out. So we're discussing your point, correct?
We can do that. So you are challenging the chair's role in calling you out, in stopping your bringing up a point of order that has been already dealt with and is dilatory because it's repeating something that has already been dealt with.
Correct. You're calling me out.
And you're objecting to that.
Of course.
Yeah, speak.
Okay. So as he is appealing the decision of the chair. So we are now going to vote on, whether we will discuss his.
Whether I can stop him from bringing up a point of order that has already been dealt with. Okay, so there are several hands up. I'm sorry, Mac, you haven't spoken before. Yes?
I believe that the question is whether or not to uphold or sustain the ruling of the chair. I believe that is the vote that's being called, in which case a vote yes would be to sustain the chair. A vote no would be to overrule the chair's decision.
Okay, I'm ready to take the vote.
We've got a few hands up,
and Joseph has the chance to speak against the ruling
of
the chair.
Madam Chair, I would like Joseph, when he can, to send his point of order to me.
There are two.
Joseph, why don't you speak to it first? I believe that Nancy and Adriana will also speak to it.
Okay. In Robert's Rules of Order in 1026, in regards to motions that are not in order, and while normally no main motion is in order that presents substantially the same question, and that was disposed of earlier in the same session, postponed or otherwise processed, a main motion that was disposed of can, however, be renewed. That is, the same question can be introduced again as if new at any later session. This is a later session from the session which I consider it. Motion to reconsider the vote, disposed of can be made at a limited time. So the point is, Robert's Rules specifically states in 1026, item 3, that I have the right to bring up a point of order to issues that were previously voted down, but I can bring the point up again to get to reconsider the question in the hopes that maybe some people will have reviewed the bylaws or changed their position. But it's the only chance I have to raise awareness of the question and educate anyone about the subject in general. And everything that I've heard so far has been hearsay and not in compliance with the bylaws, so I see no reason not to continue with my point of order. Thank you.
So I think that there's Nancy, then Adriana, and Teresa, do you have your hand up as well?
My hand is back up.
Okay, well, Nancy.
So would you pro-con?
I think we'll hear from those who've got their hands up. Nancy.
Yes. I remember even Susan Young last year asked the PNB, if this question comes up again, do we have to vote again? And the answer was yes. So each meeting is a new rodeo. So what Joseph said is correct. Back to you.
No, I did not say that. Changes in the motion.
The
change motions were considered. Adriana.
Yes, Madam Chair. First of all, please refrain yourself from answering everybody that talks because you have your option. I agree absolutely with Joseph Davis. Robert Rule of Order very clear said that every time that you believe that the order is being broken, you have the right to present your point of order. The chair can call it out of order, and the people can vote the way that they want it. But you don't have the right to interrupt the member and not letting that member talk. And you are talking about wasting time? Imagine how fast we will finish if you let him finish the point of order, you rule it out of order, and the LSB vote, we will be already in another point.
Teresa, then.
Right to speak.
Teresa?
Okay, yes. Delegate or Member Davis says that he feels this is the only opportunity he has to educate us. But being on the PNB, and I know that there has been a judge that made a decision that we will proceed with our elections, and he did not see any problem with the fact that these terms needed to be extended until the decision was made regarding these elections. So I'm educating people that the judge has made a decision, and I think it would be unacceptable for this LSB to say that we can do something other than contrary to what the judge has decided.
So, Teresa, let me say that that's arguing the merits of the point of order about bringing that up again. And at the moment we're discussing the chair's ability to say that repeating this that has been decided before is dilatory. So Matt?
This entire exchange demonstrates the basis of the court of the chair's ruling. We've spent 5 minutes now. We haven't gotten past the agenda, and Mr. Davis, in his rendition, he says this has already been decided at the last meeting. So the only purpose to keep doing this is to waste this body's time.
Okay, so we will now take a vote. And the question is, if you support the ruling of the chair.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair.
What's that?
Yes. Please ask the members.
Speak up, Adriana.
First of all, I'm speaking up. First of all, the members need to be recognized. I know that some members believe that they can speak without it. but
I did recognize the speakers.
Madam Chair, may I finish without you interrupting me? You can decide whatever you want later. The second point is no members can say that this member is saying that he knows the intention of Delegate Joseph Davis. This is not appropriate. He doesn't know his intentions, and he should read Robert's Rule of Orders that tell you that every time that you believe that the orders are being broken, some rules are being broken, you have you have to bring it again. That is in Robert's Rule of Order. And this
I have consulted with a parliamentarian about this matter, and we can go ahead and vote right now on whether the chair has the authority to stop this conversation by virtue of its being dilatory. Madam Secretary, please take the vote.
Madam Chair, we're taking the vote on that now. Madam Chair, Mr. McPherson put words in my mouth. I would like to correct.
No, call the question.
Madam Chair, Joseph, stop it.
Misquoted me intentionally.
Okay,
please.
So
allow me to correct.
Madam Secretary, will you please take the vote?
Okay, Alan says yes. David Britton?
Yes.
Britton says yes. Lillian Kerr?
Can I just clarify, a yes is to support the chairman's position?
That's correct. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Adriana Cousinay?
No.
No. Okay. Henry Faust?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Robert Gartner?
No.
Not here. Oh, okay. No. Thank you. Robert Gartner is
here. And please note that Robert Gartner is here. He was absent in the first round.
Thank you very much. Wally James?
Now what is that supposed to mean?
Yes.
I'm just recognizing that you're attending, Robert.
Wally James?
Yes.
Thank you. Mike Lewis?
Yes.
Thank you. Bob Locander?
Yes.
Yes, Bob Locander. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne Martinez says yes. Sean McPherson?
Yes, please.
McPherson says yes. Sister Mama Sonia?
No.
Sister Mama Sonia says no. Frank Radka?
Yes.
Thank you, yes. Nancy Zabarnartomi?
No.
Zabarnartomi says no. Scheidler?
Yes, 1,000 times yes.
Okay, Stone? Not here.
He's going to be late.
Okay, Joseph Davis?
No, without vitriol. No.
Davis says no. Weinman?
Abstains,
okay. Weiskel?
No.
Weiskel says no. Young?
Yes.
Young says yes. One, two.
Your professional demeanor is somewhat combative. It's understood.
I have 11 yes. Five no. One abstention.
Okay, so the ruling of the chair is sustained. Moving on to committee reports.
Madam Chair, we have
Committee of Inclusion.
No vote. Six. No, five. Six.
Six? Oh, I'm sorry.
Six. Madam Chair, I have a point of order.
What's your point of order?
And this is not the same point of order. We are in ongoing violation of the bylaws. The staff delegate seat held by the GM has not been vacated and filled by the last election results. Next staff runner-up. This violates the right of the current staff runner-up's right to the seat they're entitled to by Article 4, Section 10 of the bylaws. The act disqualifying the delegate in question was assuming the GM role at KPFT. See bylaw Article 4, Section 9, Item B. Delegates are removed upon the occurrence of a disqualifying act. See bylaws Article 7, Section 2, first line. Each LSB shall consist of 24 elected delegates. The GM is not mentioned later. See bylaws Article 7, Section 2.
Once again, I'm going to call you out of order and stop you from speaking because this matter was decided at the last meeting and has been decided by the PNB, and the LSB has no role in it. So we're going to have a call. We're going to have a call again.
The person that has
thank you, Madam Chair.
But Madam, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the delegate Davis is arguing with the chair. He's trying to speak over the chair. He needs to be called out of order.
Okay, I'm calling you out of order for speaking over the chair.
Point of order. The chair spoke over Joseph.
Okay, Adriana.
Yeah, Madam Chair, you gave him the floor, and he keeps saying you are the one interrupting, and you are, Teresa, you want to sanction the member that was interrupted?
And so we're now going to vote. If you vote yes, you were supporting the ruling of the chair, finding Joseph Davis bringing up a matter that has previously been decided and decided by the PNB as dilatory. So, Madam Secretary, please take the roll.
And Madam Chair, could I please
the chair?
And could I please ask that Joseph Davis send me this point of order that he's trying to get across? I don't have a copy of it.
So he has sent us a copy before, Teresa. I'll get it to you, and we need to figure out how to put it in the minutes because I interrupted.
He cannot read.
Okay. Alan, Alan says yes to support the decision of the chair. Britton?
Yes.
Britton says yes. Lillian Kerr?
Yes.
Yeah, Kerr says yes. Casanave?
No.
Casanave says no. Faust?
Yes.
Faust says yes. Gartner? Robert Gartner?
Move on.
Of course I say no.
Okay, thank you. Wally James?
Yes.
James says yes. Mike Lewis?
Yes.
Lewis says yes. Bob Locander?
Yes.
Locander says yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Martinez says yes. McPherson?
Yes.
McPherson says yes. Mama Sonia?
No.
Sister Mama Sonia says no. Frank Pratka?
Yes.
Says yes. Nancy Sabar-Naratomi?
No.
Sabar-Naratomi says no. Scheidler?
Yes.
Scheidler says yes. Joseph Davis?
I vote no, thank you.
Says no. Weinman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Weiskel?
No.
Weiskel says no. Susan Young?
Yes.
Chair says yes. Okay. That last vote was 12 yes, 6 no. So I do stand corrected. And this vote is 12 yes, 6 no, 1 abstention.
Okay, moving.
Okay.
Moving on to the committee reports. Moving on to the committee reports.
Request for information.
Point of information.
What is it, Nancy?
Yes, the vote count this time and the vote count last time is like one difference. And who is the new person that came in?
They are the same.
They were both 12 yes, 6 no. I forgot to count myself on the first vote.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Committee reports. Committee of inclusion.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
On the item number 5 on the agenda, did we miss that?
Yes, we sure did. And we have, and the agenda is faulty in two ways. One, We did not include staff recognition, and we did not include the IGM report. So I will ask, is there any objection to our adding in staff recognition and the IGM report?
So moved, Madam Chair, to add to the agenda both.
Excuse me? Point of information, Nancy.
Yeah.
Could we add, yes, on the agenda, it says August 9th. So can we correct that date when it does go on the, what do you call it, the kpfdx.org? It's an old agenda, or it's the wrong date.
It's September 13th. It's September 13th on mine.
Yes, on mine that I got from him, it says August 9th.
That may have been an earlier draft. It's an earlier draft. Okay.
Oh, well, that's good. So it's correct, right?
That part of it is correct.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of hands up. Ted.
I have a request for information. It should lead to a compliment. I understand that this meeting was properly announced on the air. I would like to ascertain for a fact that it has been aired four times on four separate days. And I would like to know when it was aired on what days.
This is not germane to the conversation at the moment, which is, are there any objections to adding those two agenda items? As I suggested to you, that is a question to pose to the IGM, and if we have the IGM report, you can ask it then. So hearing no objections, we will add staff recognition and the IGM report.
Point of order.
Your point of order.
My point of order is that if this meeting was not properly announced, then it should be adjourned. I do not want to wait until the general manager's report to ascertain that, in fact, this meeting was properly announced on the air.
Ted, you're going to ask it in the IGM's report. Wishes to move to adjourn,
Madam Chair, because certain members will not allow us to proceed with the body's business, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
It's not debatable.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Who seconded?
I did.
I think she asked for my name.
I second.
Call the question.
Okay, great.
Excuse me.
Okay.
May I request some information?
Sure.
On what basis are we moving to adjourn? And don't we have business to discuss?
Our inability to proceed with any of that business because of the actions of members of this LSB that just won't let us do our business.
New chair.
I call the question.
Thought we were trying to.
We have been trying, Lily. I know. I feel your pain. I feel your pain.
Okay. We have business. I mean, if we can just, every meeting should start with the mission statement of Pacifica Foundation, and we have to forward that mission.
I don't disagree at all. But they won't.
The chair isn't recognizing the cross conversation, however meritorious I think it is. Call the question. So, if you vote yes, you're voting to adjourn the meeting. If you vote no,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think that instead of all this waste of time, the general manager is here. Can the general manager answer that question? And that will be all. And we keep going with the meeting? If the general manager is here, that's
we have, it is not debatable. We have a motion. It may fail. So let's, Teresa, please take the roll call. Okay. Yes, if you wish to adjourn. No, if you wish to continue.
No. Alan votes no. I wish to continue. David Britton?
Excuse me, what are we voting?
Yes, to adjourn. No is to continue with the meeting.
Okay.
Point of order, David Britton.
Oh. Point of order, Nancy.
We're in the middle of a vote. Order.
In the middle of a vote. Yeah.
Okay, David
point
Britton.
Point of order can be taken at any time. It is in the bylaws.
Now, see, this is another demonstration of how we can't get things done. Nancy, what's your point of order?
We're not doing
what's
our
your
job.
Point of order?
Based on an opinion, personal opinion, that he thinks
Nancy,
we're not getting
Nancy, what is your
something
point?
Done?
Nancy, I am calling Nancy. I am calling Nancy out of order, and I wish for that to be recognized in the minutes, Madam Secretary. Continuing on with this vote.
I object to the ruling of the chair. I object to the ruling of the chair.
We're in the middle of a vote about, which is
I'm
not
sorry.
Debatable.
You have just done something that I object to the ruling of the chair.
We are continuing on the vote about.
No. I want to.
No,
Nancy.
I am citing Nancy for the second time. Please put that in the minutes. All right. Continuing with the vote. David, David Britton was next.
Oh.
Your no?
That's right.
Okay, I'm sorry. David Britton, what did you say?
No.
No, okay. Lillian Kerr?
Just to clarify, a no is a wish to continue with tonight's meeting?
That's correct.
And it's a no from me.
Okay, Casanave?
No.
Okay, Faust? Henry Faust? No is to... continue the meeting. Yes is to adjourn. Faust? I'm not hearing Faust. Robert Gartner?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Wally James?
No.
James says no. Mike Lewis?
No.
Lewis says no. Locander?
Yes.
Locander says yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Martinez says yes. McPherson?
Yes.
Yes. Sister Mama Sonia?
No is to continue the meeting, correct?
That's correct.
No. We want to continue the meeting.
Sister Mama Sonia says no. Frank Pratka?
Yes.
Pratka says yes. Saibara Naratomi?
Continue the meeting. My vote is no.
Says no. Scheidler?
Yes.
Tyler says yes. Joseph Davis?
I vote no, thank you.
Says no. Sandy Wyman?
Abstain.
Wyman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Weisgel?
No.
Weisgel says no. Susan Young?
I pass. I want to hear what the vote is.
Okay.
Did you do Faust?
I'll ask Faust again. Faust, do you vote? You have a vote? I'm not hearing Faust.
And William Stone has arrived.
Oh.
Yes. I did not participate in the discussion. I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Stone says abstain. Thank you. All right. Whoops.
And I will vote yes.
Thank you.
It was stupid to ask you to do something illegal.
10, no.
Take a phone, doesn't you do right? Such a very narrow.
Sister Mama Sonia, you're, can you mute yourself, please?
I don't know how you got in there, but I got to go in this first.
Yeah. Okay. 7 yes, 10 no. 1 abstention.
How many yes, Teresa?
Yes.
How many?
7 yes.
How many for yes?
Oh, I'm sorry. 7 yes, 10 no, 2 abstentions.
Can you repeat the motion
fails. We continue with the meeting.
Can you repeat the no's yet? Because I don't have that count. I have 9.
7 no.
Recapitulation, please.
No. It's 7 yeses and 10 no's and 2 abstentions.
No. Recapitulation means the name, the voter, and how they voted.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Jane. The whole point of this vote is bringing up things like this that are delaying tactics. So we just got another delaying tactic. It is absolutely unacceptable, in my opinion.
Okay, so we're
Have a right count? No? Okay.
It is the right count, Adriana, and she repeated it.
That's why I'm asking. I corrected her twice before, and I want to know the no's. I have 7 yes and 2 abstentions.
You corrected her once. Yes, and she said 7 no. Yes. 10 yes, 10 no.
2 abstention.
Okay,
Madam Chair, this is Nancy. I'm asking for recapitulation, and I have a right. Everybody in this room has a right.
Madam Chair.
That means for the person who's taking the vote count to say the names and how they voted.
Madam Chair.
Matt?
May I suggest that the members pay attention? If they want to keep us here captive to this
nonsense,
this monkey cage, then pay attention. There's no reason
right,
to recap
Nancy.
The vote. There's only 15 or 17 of us, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, you need to listen. I agree. So we're going to move. I am ruling against your request. I'm finding it out of order. So, committee reports.
Oh, Madam
sorry,
Chair.
Sorry.
I object to the ruling of the chair.
Staff recognition,
GM.
Every member has a right for recapitulation.
GM report. Nancy, I am calling you out of order. Nancy, I'm calling you out of order for the third time. And that will merit a censure. So, the GM report, please.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Well, as you know, in August, we did our summer sizzle. And for the first time in recollection, 20 years or more, the drive met its goal, actually exceeded its goal, but met its goal before the time period of the drive was completed. We actually made the goal about a day and a half before the stated end to the drive. We did continue. And as a result, we overfunded by almost $10,000. So I want to thank Howard Reynolds and Marlo Blue and Robin Lewis and all the volunteer staff. And of course, all the listeners that stepped up. This was really a solid effort that we should all be appreciative of. Also over the last month, we lost our liability insurance. Pacifica's inability to pay the premium for 1 year, which is demanded all up front, means that currently we're operating without insurance. And so we've curtailed overnight broadcasts to reduce liability. And I've got instruction to all the programmers, and happily they're abiding by the rules of the modified rules of the road to maintain a minimum presence in the building. Not a lot of guests, not a lot of extras. We're going to continue to broadcast live, but we're going to do so on a skinny basis to reduce liability as much as possible. One slip and fall, and we could be in a lot of trouble. Not a good situation. For those of you that want to know, $210,000 is the need up front for 1 year's insurance, best rate that can be negotiated for Pacifica. So again, summer sizzle, $84,368 on a goal of $75,000. We also had some 670 participants from the listener base donations. Our goal there was 500. So we exceeded both. Through all this, we raised enough money to buy backpacks for that Fifth Ward Head Start program. And those were delivered on August 23rd. There's a video up on our website that Howard Reynolds produced. And again, thanks to Howard, Marlo, Robin, Annette, and Stacy Zinn, and Cindy, Annette and Cindy Zinn for their assistance in all of this. If you ever need backpack stuff, call the Zinn sisters. They're faster than a Subway sandwich, literally. We also have had meetings with the Bryant Museum on the island of Galveston, 21st and M Street. We're hopeful that we will be able to get a space in their building to mount our 89.5 transmitter and antenna and begin broadcasting as soon as late October. In exchange, we will run what amounts to PSAs for the Bryant Museum, and there'll be no cash exchange. So in other words, this won't cost us anything extra except for the spread of a little goodwill. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. For those of you that haven't been to the Bryant Museum on the island of Galveston, it's a three-story building. It survived the hurricane of the 1930s and was originally an orphanage and has a long legacy of charitable fundraising on the island. So I'm very excited about that possibility. We're still in conversation, and we've yet to have our tech people get out there and condone the space. But from what I saw, it looks pretty good. So keep your fingers crossed. I want to thank Marlo Blue for continuing her efforts organizing board operators and volunteers, and also finishing the next FCC report on her own. She's mastered this, has a good grasp of Confessor, and that's Otis's software to track exactly what goes on with all programming as supplied by programmers, playlists, or in the case of Affairs, News Talk, there's an opportunity to post what's coming next on your show and what topic you had and the guests. So that's all good information for these reports, and she's been able to organize that and move forward. We now have about 750,000 song titles on the music server. Thank you, Howard, who also continues to work with volunteers at this point to strip the automation systems, Playout 1 and Playout Live. We're using two platforms. And so he's beginning to get some help with that by a volunteer base, and also spread the knowledge of how to do this. We need to be able to have backups for one another since we are thinly staffed. In terms of underwriting, I think this came up at the last meeting. So I did a little, Robin actually did a little digging, and we've taken in a little less than $12,000 over the course of the last fiscal year. So just a trickle, as I keep telling everybody. Memory bricks. We have sold or have commitments for sustaining pledges for about 230 square foot of brick. The first orders for these bricks have been placed. As they arrive and the weather cools off, because we can't ask volunteers to be out working in that heat. There is no way. Once it starts cooling off, we're going to start the initiative of getting those bricks installed. If you're interested in that, $25 a month on a sustaining basis, or $50 a month on a sustaining basis for a 4x8 or 8x8 brick, sign up so you can still get a space out front with all the good location. They're going fast, happy to report. And this feeds into sustaining pledges, and that's the key to getting out of fund drives, as I stated last month and have stated on the air many times. I've been putting in my report that we intended to put a small AC unit in the HD1 studio. I've suspended that project only because we don't have liability insurance and it's hard to have people playing with power and drilling holes and doing that sort of thing while we are bereft of liability coverage. Just the same, I want to thank Debbie and Scott Smith and the building committee for coming down and continuing their fine work. They were down, I think, a couple of weeks ago and gave a nice scalping to the yard and did some other cleanup work, all things that are very well received. We work very hard in trying to keep the building clean and keep the grounds maintained. But I got to tell you, when it's 106, it's 106. So we've launched a new program this Monday, September 11th, called Gulf Streams. I would encourage everybody to take a listen to this. I told the host, Dr. Weston Twardarski of Rice University, that after a broadcast, normally I'm in the next room saying, good show, but here's what you need to do next time. I told him, good show, just do that again next week. They nailed it right out of the gate. And I think this was great listening. I'm encouraging the archives to take a look at the affiliates to look at this program for some serious distribution. terms of there's going to be more changes we're working on, but nowhere close to announcing any of these. But this is a very fluid thing. We work with volunteer staff, and we have two grids, so it's a lot to keep full. There are links online to the schedule if anybody has any questions about schedule. In terms of listenership, our CUM for last month, for the month of August, and our pledge drive month was 78,800. It's been flopping around between that number and mid-90s. But the market share, again, went up to 0.4. This is the second time in 3 months. And the first time it has happened that since we've been tracking any of this that it's been that high. It was 0.1, 0.2 for many, many months during the pandemic and before. And now we bubbled up to a 0.4 after we bubbled up from a 0.3. So, okay. We're making progress, incremental. For Robin's report, we've got 2,897 members. And again, Robin's report was appended to mine and has a lot of the red meat that you're looking for in terms of numbers. Our website has also shown improvement in traffic. Facebook page has also shown an improvement in traffic. So again, we seem to be making some progress there too. And I want to thank all the programmers and volunteers that continuously post on the Facebook page. It's attracting more attention, which is what we're after. For the October drive, as we partnered with the Fifth Ward Head Start program, we're trying to contact the Knowles-Rowland Project. For those of you that go, that sounds familiar, that's Beyonce's parents. So we're hoping to partner with them and maybe do like a blanket jacket drive is the top line thinking. We should have more on that in the next couple of days, but right now we're just beginning that dialogue. This again will just be a matter of KPFT placing an order and maybe delivering some things, given the COVID that's going around and the lack of coverage on the building. I think it's the best way and the safest way to proceed. So that's what we're doing. Our available bank balance as of last Friday was $174,343.74. This includes restricted money of $45,000 for a repeater in Gatesville, which is still under study by Mo Thomas. And it's a difficult proposition. We may have to make an alternative plan there. It also includes some restricted money meant for studio operations, which I said last month and I'll say again this month, is not really restricted because we spend that money regularly anyway. And we spend a little of that in August, trying to keep studio operations going. This is a good point that everybody should understand. In FY23, our budget said that we were to bring in $534,489 in revenue. So far this year, we're just about through the year, we've brought in $649,843 And actually that number should go up by about $16,000 that was received today from monthly sustainers and credit card drops. And you can see that on the 53 for 53 campaign, which stands just under $90,000. And I'm hopeful that we could hit the whole goal of 100 by the time the campaign elapses. At the end of September, when we get into our October drive, that campaign won't be up. Our October drive will be up, first drive of the fiscal year. That's coming up rapidly, and we've been meeting on that and making our plans, trying to get organized and trying to get a jump. I want to thank Teresa, especially on this call here, for organizing calls to lapsed donors. Every increment makes a difference, and I want to compliment Teresa and all the folks that have joined her on many occasions to call lapsed donors. So thank you. Let's keep that practice up one way or another. As I said, Robin's report is attached, and it's got a lot of good information about where our money's coming from and return on investment for things like mailer campaigns. I will take questions if you have questions. I'm hoping these aren't legacy hands. I'm going left to right.
No. Let me note that we have run past the moment, which is supposed to be time certain for public comment. Therefore, what I ask is that questions be held for Sandy, and that we take public comment now, and that we add 10 minutes on, so it'll be 8:40 that we would end public comment. Are there people who, in the members of the public, who wish to make comments? If there are not, we can come back when there are members of the public who wish to. Let's proceed with questions for Sandy.
Madam Chair. Yes. Captain Tom, I yield my time.
Captain Tom?
I yield my time to be able to give questions for Sandy. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, questions for Sandy. I see three hands. Ted.
I would like to know when you announced, or when the station announced on the air, this meeting, what time, what day, and of course I can add it up and we can see that it did or did not fulfill the bylaw requirement. That is my question. I hope I can compliment you for finally getting it done. And you're muted.
Sandy, you're muted.
Hang on. Sorry. Yeah. My computer is acting very strangely tonight. I emailed to Susan Young the entire log of a PSA announcing meeting time. She has that. I don't know how many were on there, Ted, but it was multiple. And you can see times and dates that are logged per our automation system as sent to me by Howard Reynolds.
I will forward that to everyone.
Thank you. That would be fine. Thank you, Susan. I was going to do that right now, but like I said, my computer is not being cooperative.
Okay, Nancy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Sandy, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Before you were became IGM, the PMB had passed two resolutions, and one of them was for the GMs to encourage and help and assist all the staff who have shows how to get an AudioPort account, how to make it, and so they can download their show after they do their show, and then they can upload. But not only they can upload, all five stations and 200 affiliate stations programmers can also upload our product, and they can upload theirs and download theirs. And then everybody, 200 and plus five stations can share their programming. So this is a real good chance. And this Gulf Streams is a new show. So it'd be good if you would start implementing that resolution. And that was made before you became IGN. And another one that was made is that they all the staff have an email listserv so they can communicate all together with each other. Like if say there's 147 emails on one listserv, and if they say something, then they can communicate and everybody sees, all the staff can see, you know, what's been put by others. Like, oh, there's a wreck on 59, or better take this, or I'm going to have this special guest on. Can you please say on your show, so-and-so is going to be on my show, or something important for that will help the programming. Those two things. That's all. Thank you.
Let me comment, Nancy. We work with volunteers. I don't have an AudioPort account, nor do I want one. There are certain obligations and extra work that goes with that, quite a bit actually, and it's up to each programmer. There's no hard fast rule. We're volunteers. Thank you. As I do let people know about it, and if they're interested, we get them guidance as how to get an account. So that much we're doing. As far as the listserv,
then you're fulfilling the resolution.
As far as the listserv goes, I have no idea. I mean, we have somewhat regular programmers meetings and people do stay in touch, and it's a pretty tight community. People talk to each other. So I don't know about a listserv.
Teresa.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got distracted. Come back to me if you don't mind. Please come back to me.
Sure. Joseph?
It was just a quick comment. Sandy, I'm impressed by your the goal fundraising. Well done. That's it. Let's hope Teresa's got her thought back. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. I'm hoping we can do the same thing in October. That would be unbelievable.
Teresa, did you remember?
Yes. Two things, Sandy. When we met for the development and outreach meeting, one of the things that people suggested is we're trying to think of how we can, anything we can do to relate to people. And we're suggesting that somehow we put surveys on the website or in a link to a survey in the email that we send out to membership to get feedback or do some sort of ascertainment with them. So I'm just passing that information on to you. We also wondered what were the most popular premiums, but we also want to say, I think that I and the committee thinks it's phenomenal what you have done in promoting the sustainer program. But we are wondering if there were any pleasant surprises for you with some of the premiums that we used in the last pledge drive.
I think one thing that was a surprise, and Robin commented on this, our dependence on tickets for this drive was not as strong as it usually is. Jill Morgenstern formerly had the show Bayou Groove. She had to give that up because of her obligations to a job, but she designed a summer sizzle shirt that was very popular, $100.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've heard some comments on it. People really like it.
We're working on one for the fall fun drive as well. So we're going to try to continue the same pattern of leveraging with another charity. And, you know, for every $1,000 we get, we will do something toward that challenge charity. So in this case, maybe 150 blankets and jackets. I don't know, but we will figure that out very shortly. Is October 5th, the start of our drive, Thursday, October 5th, is rapidly approaching. I'm going to be out that first weekend. I'm actually traveling on the 5th and won't be back until that next Monday. But have to compliment all the volunteers, Howard, Marlo, and the other folks that, you know, Robin for sure, the other folks that keep these things on track. This is really kind of an amazing thing that with the skinny staff, they're getting so much done, and their dedication to it is rather remarkable. We've also might have noticed we're doing a lot more by Zoom, and the Zoom audio actually sounds like you're right in the studio. I was driving in the other day listening to Susan Darrow interview Webb Wilder, and I thought he was in the studio. I'm thinking, no, he's not there. His show isn't till the weekend, right? What's he doing here in town? And then it dawned on me, it must be Zoom. And sure enough, when I arrived and walked in, that's exactly what it was. So every day Egberto uses Zoom to perfect his show. So this is an excellent technology. And with the help of Howard Reynolds and Rico, a board op that we have, Rico Hernandez, he's we're getting this done. And other volunteer board ops that come in early morning. It's a wonderful thing to see. So the volunteer community really stepped up and made this possible.
Okay, I think Jane, did you have Jane, a question?
Yes, I have a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Jane Scheidler. Sandy, I got stuck when you were talking about there was an overage of $10,000 at some point that you mentioned when you were doing the financial report. And my question is it feasible for KPFT to buy their own liability policy separate from Pacifica?
That's an excellent question. It was the first thing that I thought of. And the answer to that is no. It's one umbrella policy for everyone. And again, National would have to come up with $210,000 currently. We pay central services every month faithfully. We're current year to date, and with that $52,000 contribution last month bit into the amount that we owed previously, which I think Markeisha told me was $125,000 legacy. That's just a number. It really, Stephanie Wells is talking about, it's pointless to try to get that. This is all under NEDA and what they were charging, et cetera. Anyway, the answer is no. It's $210,000 for 1 year, which is what the insurance company is demanding. We're considered to be a bad risk because of the financial condition that we're in, which is cash poor, but asset rich. There are ways out of the box that would endow Pacifica for years to come, but we've got to come to consensus on the national board and take action. And once we do, there'll be a runway and there'll be a lot of paperwork, but potentially we can slide out of this with five signals, maybe just not the same frequencies. So, or frequency, if it's just one. I'm talking about a signal, signal exchange, right? Signal trade. So there are options that are out there and there's talk about doing these things. And to me, it's the next logical thing. The condition of our 501c3 right now just begs receivership if there's a creditor that's going to force it. It would be a very easy thing to trigger. One of the creditors has to force us into that. Otherwise, we just stumble along. But our problem right now is we are in default on both the EIDL loan we took from the government, which has been referred to the Treasury Department for collection. We're in default on the FJC loan, but that some of that's also being addressed as WBAI got a bequest, a listener that passed and left the station. Good sum of money in New York terms, about almost 2 months worth of operating money, almost. And that's being used to address some of these issues and also catch up on office rent and these sort of things. Address the immediate needs. In effect, if you understand the term aged payable, which is a bill that you owe, your creditors will usually give you some runway, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. If you're a Canon copiers, 6 months, but then all hell breaks loose. Okay. And Stephanie and National Board and Markeisha, especially, God bless Markeisha. I mean, she's doing a wonderful job in a crappy situation. What they're doing is they're keeping these people at bay by rotating the payments as we have cash available to make sure these age payables are not at the end of the string. It doesn't mean we walk away with a zero balance when we make a payment.
Okay.
Yes, yes, I think I agree that we should appoint Markeisha for sainthood. That's all, you know, Saint Markeisha. She really is amazing. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Nancy, do you have another question?
Yes. For about almost a month, the HD radio reception is dead air. It does say KPFD and then FM 2, but it doesn't, there's no sound. And so, I already reported to Howard and Mo, so I figure it must be a very difficult problem to solve. I wondered if, you know, we can save money by contracting a tower or a person, IT, I don't know what this is, IT or tower, a person locally instead of having Mo fly all the way out here and charging, you know, traveling fee. And then also when it gets fixed, I was thinking it to suggest if Howard could be there and kind of learn how to do it, because, you know, there's so many problems that comes with affecting the broadcasting. There's oodles of problems, but it'd be very good if this could happen. Because the HD, most people think, well, if I want to listen to HD 2, I'll just go online and listen to it. But if you have an HD radio, you don't have to go online and tie up your telephone. You don't have to tie up your and use your telephone's battery. And if you don't have unlimited, then you have to pay more. So I'm saying practically for some people, it's really nice to have a reception on a radio. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So with regard to HD2 and what's going on there, between the actual transmitter, where all that RF goes up to the antenna and goes out into the air, between that and the incoming signal, there's something called an encoder. This is a Windows 7 PC. Does that tell you anything? Windows 7? That's how old this is. Okay. And there's a specialty card for those of you that are computer buffs, a PCIC card that sits in that computer supplied by a manufacturer that is not real good at service. Okay. Well, Howard got into that machine. Howard does know a little about IT, but a lot about the hardware, the computers, and he got the thing online. Okay, so it should be back up and running. We're watching it. Mo Thomas sent a replacement computer just in case. We're not talking about anything but a few hundred dollars here at most. But in this case, it's just not going to cost us anything. Mo's a radio guy, and he likes to trade equipment. So he's got a surplus. We're very lucky to have Mo. So for the moment, we've got that under control. But again, we're dealing with equipment that's old and is flaky at times. And don't forget, this is sitting out in a concrete block building off Fairbanks, North Houston. Although environmentally controlled, it's not environmentally perfect. So time takes its toll. And Howard, thank goodness, Howard lives almost across the street from the site of this transmitter. You know, synchronicity, right? So he's able to go out there and from time to time when needed, we'll reset equipment. The other thing that's been happening out at the transmitter is that we have DSL, that's twisted copper pair technology, not coaxial cable, not fiber, that is the receiver for our internet signals that we rely on, internet transmission of our audio that we rely on for broadcast. This week, we got AT&T down to $399 a month. What a bargain. So I've given the go ahead to replace our DSL line, which we're paying about $125 a month for, with fiber. This will increase reliability. And for an additional $50, Mo is trying to sell me a backup, and I'm laughing at him, but I may have to do that too. Point being is that this hardened technology will be a whole lot better than this stuff that we put in 2000, God knows when, right? Many years ago. So state of the art DSL, half a T1, has been replaced by fiber, and we're going forward and upgrading at the transmitter. All in all, I think this will provide increased reliability. And I hope to God that this helps out, because poor Howard runs his ass off every time there's dead air. He hears about it, and he's on the case night and day, even on the days off that he has. So that's what's going on out there, Nancy.
I had asked a long time ago, and finally got an answer, you know, that our signal is 100,000 watts capability, but it surely is not the strongest signal on the dial. And the strongest one is 740 AM KTRH that used to have Rush Limbaugh in the morning, and the other one is KUHF. I mean, those signals, you can find it on my Tivoli, which is a needle, a dial with a needle. I can find those signals really well, and I compare things with that. But our signal, really hard time finding it. Now, if I use my HD radio, it's digital, so I can get the signal right away. But I asked one time, why our signal is so poor? And the answer I got was that we had a nice new Nautel transmitter. That was in 2014 when we got it on Labor Day, and a lot of old stuff, so things don't fit well together. So I'm just wondering if we make a wish list or a Christmas list. I just wonder how much old stuff we have with our transmitter. Anyway, it's just for thinking. I just thought of it. I'd like to know how far we have to go to get modernized, and if you share this information,
there's a lot going on with the signal. It's not that the signal is not 100,000 watts. We've had atmospheric conditions. I've noted some problems here to the south of town. Mo knows about it. There's antenna patterns. There's a lot that goes into the equation, so I can't fully answer your question. Also, we're not at the top of the tower, and that affects things too. But it, you know, on given days, we go out to Beaumont, past Beaumont. On given days, we go well southwest of town. Other days, not so much. And Mo tells me it's atmospheric conditions, tropospheric conditions.
No, I'm not.
Nancy is bringing up lots of questions, but lots of useful questions. Nancy, let me ask you to take those up with Sandy directly. We need to move on to committee reports. Okay. First of the committee reports is Committee of Inclusion. Adriana is the convener.
Madam Chair. Do I now have time for public comment?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm sorry for delaying the LSB meeting, but I do have a few things that I would like to say. I have listened to the first part of this meeting, and in my opinion as a public comment, it needs to be reconstructed and reorganized. Everybody needs to cooperate with the chair. Chair is a person of neutral character, category. And her job is to ensure that this meeting runs specifically smooth. No one has the right to interrupt the chair. And the chair, I'm sorry, Susan, but you don't have a right to interrupt the person speaking. I'm going to make a suggestion, and I hope it is taken to heart, that everybody sit down and read Robert's Rules of Order. They have Robert's Rules of Order for dummies. They have Robert's Rules of Order for professional people. So sit down, read Robert's Rules of Order. I mean, it's what it's there for. You know, we cannot keep on doing this, we will not get anything done. No one, and I mean no one, is going to accomplish anything. Teamwork, I keep on saying this over and over again, teamwork is important. You have a team, people are a team, you stick together. You have your leadership, you have your officers on the board. That's what it's there for. They are the controllers, and we are committee members, or LSB members, or however how you want to put it. Teresa and I, in the past, have worked close together on development and outreach, and we keep our committees organized. And I back her up 100%. She backs me up 100%. I'm no longer the chair of the outreach committee, but I stepped down for personal reasons, but I still am 100% behind, Teresa's, chairmanship. Also, I'd like to say one other thing that everybody, is doing a wonderful job. Sandy, you're doing an excellent job. And, we need to keep everything, all this arguing and infighting on a down low. That is all I have, Madam Chair. I hope I did not insult anybody. Thank you.
I think, PK? So we're still members of the public. So PK?
Good evening. I kind of miss the battle that went on up front, but there's something that I'd like to ask a question about, and I know that you can't answer me, but I'm just curious. There are places that are talking about things that support KPFT and Pacifica. IM KPFT is something that I created, and I designed t-shirts that said IM KPFT, and now there are going to be other stations that want to say IM WBAI. I think that when you talk about what you've done, you know, there have been these four black managers that basically talked about what they did for the station, but they weren't given the same efficacy, you know, that word equity that other people have gotten. I think we need a truth and reconciliation campaign because this new day bothers me because of the kind of money that they're raising. And it sounds like what New Day really is a corporate takeover. And as a former corporate paralegal, and at one time wanted to be a lawyer until I decided I wanted to go to heaven first. There are things that are going on that don't make sense. And so there seems to be this method of keeping us at each other's throats rather than dealing with the fact that Pacifica has a rich history. The mission of it is not being done, and it's not just about money. Unfortunately, we've hemorrhaged a lot of membership. When I had the peace hour, we had twice this many, almost three times this many members, and people decided to change it. But we're not in the room where it happens. This is not the room where decisions happen. Not really. It's the New Day people that have their own room, and whatever it is that they do affects all of us. I'm not begging for a seat at the table. I bring my own chair if I have to. But seriously, when you collude with people based on your apathy or you just, that's your best friend, and so you're going to vote with them. We've got some serious problems going on, not only in Pacifica, but in the whole country. And right now, they're talking about taking libraries in mostly black and brown schools and turning them into detention centers. We've got Pacifica. We've got KPFT. Where are those conversations? Where are that support? The exonerated five, if it had not been for WVAI, those young men would still be in jail. Instead, we had a media that supported such work as it took to exonerate them, to keep them before the public. We didn't do a good job with George Floyd. We certainly aren't doing a good job with the Houston Independent School District. I'm not knocking any program. I'm just saying what's missing. You all know that I went to Africa. And I didn't go to Africa by myself. I went with an organization that I've been a part of, a founding member of, for almost 30 years. And one of the things that I learned about what happened in Rwanda was that their patterns of practice that address what's really happening, the undercurrent. And it's not necessarily a good thing that's happening right now in Pacifica. I didn't necessarily want to be an LSB board member, but I know that there are people who wouldn't mind me being on the LSB again. And what happened in that many people not being able to at least give New Day a run for its money by putting people who will do things differently than New Day is doing. We don't talk about New Day, but we should. And you know, it's scary that you win and then you lose, and then you win and then you lose. You know, people kind of say, oh, this is changing and it's going to get better, and then it doesn't. I am not your enemy. I am not someone who is manipulating a system. I'm trying to do what is right. I'm going to always be for the people. And the communities that we used to serve are beginning to think it's a waste of my time and the waste of Sister Mama Sonia's time and the waste of any of us who give a little bit more to challenging you. I'm not fighting you. I'm challenging you to do the right thing for all of us. And until we're ready to do that, we constantly chip away at this place called Pacifica. We never really get a good hold of it, either one, no sides, no communities. But if we started doing things to bring communities together, things would be a whole lot better. That's not something I think. That's something that I know. I have been in the Middle East, when Palestinians and Israelis seemed to have been at each other's throats, and there was a group of young people. And that's one of the problems here at Pacifica and KPFT. There's just not enough young people, I think. But they started working together, and there have been some changes, even in the midst of the difficulties that Zionism creates. Same thing in the Philippines. You know, I sat with a group of people who, Muslims and Christians, had been at each other's throats. A Belfast Wall was built because Catholics and Protestants couldn't get together. Conflict is a reality, but how people handle conflict is probably the issue that we've not done It's not just about DEI, because you can have all the programming that you want to have people come and say, you know, I don't have any biases. I don't have any prejudices. It would help if we kind of came clean and talked about the things that we've done that work on the up and up. So a truth and reconciliation thing will probably only happen after Pacifica is gone. And in the meantime, what I'm going to do is chronicle. I'm investigating New Day. I'm looking at them. I'm trying to talk to people about it. I'm a journalist. I've always been a journalist, along with being a writer. And so I want to get to the bottom of this, because it really, really does disturb me that we don't know how to dismantle hate. And you can tell where there's hate when you make fun of individuals, their language. I mean, I remember somebody telling Nancy to go sit down and twiddle her chopsticks. I remember somebody else making fun of somebody with a Spanish accent. Well, at least we understood that. And it's aggressive stuff. But I'm not giving up. Unfortunately, my daughter is not going to be happy about that, and a lot of the that I mentor. But I'm saying this to you from the bottom of my soul. We need to, you all don't need to pat each other on the back. That's not the issue. We need to be bringing enough people in here where we have some creative and diverse and inclusive work that we can show what Pacifica is really all about. And I'm staying. I'll be around until we're no more.
Can't hear you.
I didn't keep track exactly of the time and whether we have the half hour was
we
dedicated.
Don't. We don't. It's not a half an hour, but I don't think there's anybody else unless they're, I don't know who they are or where they are.
Okay. Thank you, PK. All right. Now to committee reports, starting with, Committee of Inclusion, and the convener is Adriana. Is Adriana still here? There she is. Adriana?
Yes, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, but it's really something strange. I sent an email. I was disconnected. I need to try to connect again. I don't know what your question was. I'm sorry.
Well, Committee of Inclusion. You're the convener. Will you talk about your meetings and what you've accomplished?
Yes, well, we are working. We have some of our members. We are working in, we need to make some amendment, no amendment, but some adding some information to the report that we finish. And we are working, you know, we work, we have our jobs, and we will meet when we complete our jobs to finish the report and organize the report and send it. We hope that we will have it ready. We hope, no, I'm sure that we will have it ready, but before November, we will have our report ready to the LSB and to the PMB.
Excellent. Okay, next one is finance. Mac.
Yeah. Excuse me, give me a minute. The LSB Finance Committee has not met since the last LSB meeting.
I regularly attended the National Finance Committee meetings. KPFT, two other stations, I believe, have timely presented their budgets to the NFC to be passed on to the PNB. I believe that WBAI and KPFK have not yet done so. Sandy's description of the dire economic straits that we are in, if anything, he undersold it, because, you know, he's the guy with his finger in the dike trying to keep everything, you know, trying to hold back, trying to stem the tide. Probably the most immediate threat to KPFT, which is KPFT, I think we're the only station that's actually in the black, if you can call it that, because there's stuff that we still don't do, but you know, we have this much of a cushion, which, and we are by far the smallest grain of sand in the beach that is Pacifica. There have been a couple of large gifts to KPFK, KPFK, KPFA, WBAI that are allowing Markeisha to play that shell game with the age payables that Sandy described, not in those terms. Yeah, we're in default, all the loans. We are in bad shape, guys. While we're arguing here, you know, the bus is headed for the cliff. And on that bright note.
thank you, Mrs. Lincoln. How was the play?
Yeah.
A couple of things. You graciously gave both the NFC report and our own finance committee report, which is appropriate, because you serve on both. Do you have an idea of when the next KPFT finance committee might be convened and what it will be considering?
Yeah. Actually, you asked me that the other day, and I misinformed you. I thought that we had scheduled a meeting that it was on KPFTX.org. Yeah, I've double checked, and I must have had a brain infarct that day because it didn't happen. So the plan as of the last meeting of the Finance Committee was to have quarterly meetings so that the IGM could keep us abreast of things. And so ordinarily, if we did that, you know, on the quarter, that meeting would be in October. But as Sandy has indicated, he's going to be busy as a bag of cats with the fund drive. So I will endeavor in the morning to schedule a meeting. I'll post it on KPFTX for maybe the last week of this month. That would give sufficient notice.
All right, thank you. Are there questions for Mac? Okay, hearing none. Next up is
Nancy. The question.
Sure. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. I would like very much to have a meeting of the finance as soon as possible. The K and the I. I don't know about the W, but sometimes I do go to the other meetings. But they're having their, K is having their finance tonight, same time.
Did you have a question?
But, Yes.
What's the question?
It was decided at the last meeting that we're going to have our next meeting when we consider the next year's budget. So I'm very happy that you're going to schedule, or you were planning to schedule one before next spring. I think we should meet on a monthly basis at least. I mean, well, there are many things we can do with our heads and creativity. I think we should keep abreast. And then we have never been able to have any documentation except one telephone bill in 2019. Jesus. And I think as the finance committee, we should be able to do our diligence by seeing actual documents.
Okay. Well, I didn't really hear a question there, but I will say this. At the last meeting, we took a vote to have quarterly meetings. So that's what we're going to endeavor to do. And I'll get that posted on the on KPFTX as soon as I am able.
And I believe that we adopted and moved forward our 2024 budget, and we were the first to do that.
We were.
I know we'll have end of year questions, but it sounds as though we've got a lot of things to celebrate thanks to a lot of volunteers. Okay, the governance committee is, oh, Adriana, did you have a question for finance?
Yes, thank you. Do we have to the our treasurer? Do we have, do you have the P&L from the entire, from KPFT, whatever you have? When is the last one that you have and what is the date? If you have it, please send it.
As we've discussed at the last two meetings, we don't get a P&L, per se. We have been afforded a spreadsheet. But it's not a P&L because we're not a business. We don't have profits and losses. We have losses, but, no, what we have is pledges and payables. So that's just.
No, I mean, I'm sorry, Mac. I don't know how you call it, but it's being called in the foundation every year, in every meeting. Previously, and the PMB too, we receive one P&L permanently. And that is every month because there you really see, I mean, you can compare the reality, what really is going on. It's not that doesn't exist. It's exactly the name and it's P&L.
I can only say.
And you don't have it. Okay. Thank you.
I can only say that I am only familiar with that document that Sandy brought us at the last meeting. Whatever that's called, that's the only document of which I am aware.
I think one of the things that we face is that without Nita and with only Markeisha, yeah, timely reports are difficult. And they go to the NFC, and maybe the NFC can decide what to forward to us. Okay, governance is in hiatus, and Richard Uzel is not here. MSRC, I am the chair. We had a meeting on, I think it's August 16th. I'm very bad about dates, and my apologies. We had a meeting in August. We did two things. We approved prior meeting minutes, and we started a conversation about what are the things we would like the committee to take up. We had a lot of complaints and back and forth about whether we were on the stream and whether it was a legal meeting. And so, the meeting adjourned. We did not set the future meeting date. I am asking that it be September 27th, which is a Wednesday, and that we have met at 6 o'clock in the past. And what Teresa had brought up in the meeting, was that she thought the primary priority needed to be discussing the IGM evaluation. So that is what I'm going to put in the draft agenda. Are there questions for MSRC? And perhaps I'm kind of combining the national reports with our local reports. Teresa, would you be able to talk a little bit about what the personnel committee is doing at national?
Oh, thank you very much. We are in the process of scheduling our next meeting. We met an impasse. I guess I could say that part of the reason why we met this impasse was that the chair of the personnel committee gave a self-evaluation to the executive director. It was rather lengthy, and much of her time actually is spent negotiating delinquent bills. And so she's spending so much of her time on things that are not, well, just an extraordinary amount of time on one part of the things on her job description. And she has requested self-evaluations from the general managers and the interim general managers. So we are starting the process again, this time hoping to streamline. We don't really want her spending all of her time answering, giving lengthy answers of things that she doesn't have time to do because she's trying to keep our head above the water. So we will be meeting very soon, and I hope to have a very productive report for you next month. Thank you.
Okay, Adriana, and then Nancy.
Yes, Teresa, I was here in different versions, but you said that you gave that the personnel committee gave the executive director a self-evaluation. Is the personnel committee, I know that according to the way that we do evaluation, we normally evaluate people not only in our organization, everywhere. We evaluate them with the job description that they have. Is the personnel committee ready to evaluate the executive director according to the job description that she had when she was hired?
We have not changed the job description,
wasn't my question, Teresa.
I'm sorry, Daniel, please repeat your question.
Yes, I will. I'm asking if it's the personnel committee evaluating the executive director with the job description that she had when she was hired. It means more than 18 months ago, because if I don't mistake, was 18 months to make an evaluation. Are the personnel committee using that job description to evaluate her? That is the question.
She has a job description. She also has a contract that was written up by our corporate counsel. There are two things that we have to deal with. And as I said, I expect that we will get to this. At least we expect to have her self-evaluation done, and we will have rolled up our sleeves, and we will be working very specifically on our evaluation by the next time that this LSB meets.
Nancy.
Thank you.
Nancy.
yes. I don't understand why the personnel committee, when are they going to meet again? Did they make a new date, or is just not going to meet for a while? I'm not sure when they're going to meet. The reason why I ask is, bylaws have been violated, and there should be some discussion there and questioning, and that cannot just be personnel committee just what stop, recess, and violations are happening with this election. And the ED has the authority to hire and fire her, the NES. So I don't understand why you're just having a recess there.
Teresa, is there a date for the next personnel committee meeting?
Actually, there is not, but I am not the chair of the personnel committee. I am the secretary, and as I said, I fully expect by the next time that this LSB meets, we will have finished the self-evaluation, and we will have in the hands of the LSB their evaluation for her. Thank you. And I'm not quite sure how I connect the fact, you're not saying exactly what it is in the bylaws that's being violated that affects our evaluation of the executive director. I'm assuming you're not telling us that she's violating the bylaws. We're doing the best we can with the two documents that we have, her job description and the contract that was given to her. And actually the PNB is discussing this in executive session. Thank you.
Well, the bylaws that's been in, one of them that has been violated is that the NES is supposed to hire local election supervisors, and that never happened. And the ED should take prompt action about that, and to, because she's, the ED is responsible for hiring the NES.
Can we bring that up in the elections committee?
I would like, Nancy, to respond this way. Elections supervisors, local election supervisors cost money. When we 20 years ago in the bylaws, it said in the bylaws that we will have face-to-face PNB meetings. We can't afford them. At this point, the NES and the PNB and the ED are doing the best they can with what we have. Would you rather that we take the money that we need for insurance or electricity or the audit? Would you rather we spend that on local election supervisors? Yes or no? Because we have a limited amount of money.
Oh, you don't want an answer. Do you want an answer?
Just yes or no. Would
you
rather we spend?
You're asking me a question.
We don't have the money. We don't have the money unless we totally changed our priorities to spend the money on local election supervisors. As a matter of fact, we tried to raise money 2 months ago in this LSB meeting. So I feel free, everybody, to speak up if you contributed some money toward to pay for the election. Because we were ordered by the courts to have this election, but we didn't have enough money in the budget to hold this election.
Yes, but I find it very strange that we had two elections. They were referendums. The first one was like in 2019, it cost $52,000. And then we had another one in 2020, it cost $54,000. But this election is $75,000 budget and no LESs were hired. It does not make sense.
The election in 2021 cost $150,000, and that was with LESs. We can't afford that. The referenda were less expensive. Okay. So outreach and development, that's you again, Teresa, and.
Yes. Yes. As to the town hall, we are ready to assist. We are absolutely committed to assisting the development director in reaching and enlisting and retaining LAPS members. Sandy and Robin have set up a sponsorship at the Discovery Green. K50 will be a sponsor of an event on October 4th and 5th. We are committed to working that event. I believe that some of our people will be introducing some of the performers. And if you would like to sit at a table at that event, please see me. Commendations to Robin and Sandy, who have found someone who has donated $2,000 to match up to $2,000, I believe $50 for every sustaining pledge in the October drive. At this point, up to $2,000. If you would like to contribute toward that matching fund, I would just give you a gold star. So I think that's commendable, and we support that. And we are working very hard also to find people who not only would be who would come up with matches, but also would be sustaining pledges. Last but not least, I'm asking anyone here on this call to recount your successful efforts to raise money or increase membership, or if you contributed to the election. I'll say this, because he's probably too modest. Thank you very much, Bob Locander, for your contribution toward this. Is there anyone else who would like to? I know Mike Lewis has been using social media very, very actively to raise money. Like, you know, it's an anniversary, it's my birthday. He comes across people and he's promoting and raising money all of the time. I personally can say this because I'm constantly mentioning KPFT. A friend of mine decided to give a gift in honor of his wife's birthday, a membership to KPFT. He knew he couldn't vote in this election, but she'll be able to vote in the next one. So I would love to hear if there's anyone here on this call that has had success with an attempt to raise money or increase membership, please say something now, because we could all use the ideas.
Does it have to be a board member?
No, go ahead.
I mean, I do the birthday thing every year. I am KPFT every year, several times. But it's not just money that I get, Teresa, and it's not even that I'm bothered by the fact that there are some people who cannot give, but love this station, who would volunteer, who would want programming that meets them. That's a marketing aspect of Pacifica.
That's why I said I would love to know of anybody who would like to participate in it, sitting at a table or participate in outreach or development.
There are other ways to do it.
Some of the candidates have also donated. So if you're a candidate and you donated to the election, or if you know of someone, please mention it.
PK?
You
weren't recognized by the chair. I mean, even though you brought up good ideas and Teresa will follow up. Adriana? Adriana?
I'm trying to speak. Can you hear me?
Yes, now.
Faintly.
Okay, perfect. What I'm trying to ask, because we talk about the local election supervisor, what I think that is really a big problem. For example, one of the stations, KPFA, they have private donors that put money to pay for the local election supervisor. I think that was a really probably good idea. It's a new day, people, doesn't matter. But I think that will be very interesting that in our case, we could do something like that
and then don't have this sham election that we are having. Okay? I think that that is one of the big problems. We have just a national election supervisor that is justifying that she doesn't have time to do everything in time. Well, you shouldn't accept a job that you cannot, comply or finish. If you need anything else, you should ask. And I think that was really, really a shameful situation, the one that we live in KPFT. And we could ask for donors to pay for somebody like LES. I think that will be at least a good election in that case. Okay, like I said, I'm still not receiving my ballot yet, but well, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, I apologize, and I'm putting my hand up too. Nancy?
Oh, that's a legacy hand, but I'm horrified to hear Adriana still does not have a ballot. That's terrible.
So I will help you get a ballot, Adriana. I'll help you get a ballot. So, Matt.
Only to say that I'm always kind of trying to sell the station. Some of the new programming has kind of given me a new entree, with people I know. I've had people talk to me about interested in giving maybe a larger gift, but I don't know that anybody's followed through. But no, I talk it up all the time. I've taken to forwarding the link, to listen live when Elevator Prozac or something like that is on the air. Because I know people that of a certain age, go, hey, that's cool. And maybe they'll, I try to indirectly encourage them, because they're not going to give if they don't listen. So you got to get them to listen.
Sandy?
Yeah, just briefly where the national elections are concerned. We had a donor that made possible a bare minimum election. There's no money, people. You're thinking about this in terms of bylaws that can't apply without funding. You're thinking about this in terms of what might have been 10 years ago. Open your eyes. It's not our present condition. We're lucky to have any election at all. And I suggest that if you don't like that and you want better, ask yourself who's paying for your hobby and do something about it. Chip in. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to, and I have my hand up on that. We thought in the elections committee, we were told that we would not be able to move forward with simply voting or whatever the voting firm was if we didn't raise $25,000. So several of us put together a challenge for each of the stations and for the PNB. We fell woefully short. These our people on these boards do not raise or give. I have donated to be able to pay for a piece of the election process. There have been other private donors, but really the majority of people at the PNB and on the LSBs are hoping that somebody else will pay for it. And what the NES has agreed to do is what her contract provides for, and the contract was developed in relationship to what we thought we could afford. As Sandy says, the bylaws have a lot of unfunded mandates. And frankly, so do a lot of resolutions that have been adopted by the PNB. And I think a challenge that will be brought before the governance committee is rescinding motions that have been adopted with unfunded mandates. Okay, Adriana, you're the next. Adriana? Is that a legacy hand? Okay. Next on the agenda, Grants Task Force. Do we still have Henry Faust?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I remind people that I would love it if you would go to the Pacifica Elections website, donate some money, and in the memo field, put that it's toward, that you're with KPFT and it's toward the elections. If you love KPFT and you're arguing that you care for it, put up. But it's very easy to give, at least toward the election. Thank you.
I've put my hand up again. Teresa Mack and I serve on the elections committee. And we
you
have
see my hand up, Madam Chair, because my I don't know how that went up.
I will what?
I don't know why my hands went down.
I didn't I put your hand down. I asked you if you were wanted to speak and I didn't hear you speak. Why don't you speak first? Because I raised my hand after you did.
First of all, I want to clarify something. When I, when you offered to help me to find my ballot, what I'm trying to say is imagine if I'm being a director, being an LSB member. Can you imagine if I don't receive my ballot? Can you imagine how many? I have a lot of people telling me that they didn't receive their ballots. Can you imagine the situation that a lot of people that don't even know what's going on? That is the first thing. And the second thing, everybody's talking about the money. I think that is, we can say that at least hypocritical, that a lot of people in this board, I think that at least 7 or 8 members were disqualified, illegally disqualified from this election, and we are asking those people to put money in an election that we think that is a sham election. And I don't think that we are doing it. People talk about the bylaw. The only reason that this is trying to go on is because the judge in California ordered to have election. But he didn't say the sham election. He said an election, a right election. And this is not fair when a lot of members, including people that obviously have more resources than other members, don't receive their ballots. Can you imagine the amount of people that are being disenfranchised? That's what I'm saying, that this is not anything else more than a sham election. I'm sorry.
Point of order, ma'am. Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes.
I think there are several fallacies in her logic. Can I respond to that or not? I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with development and outreach, except that making statements like that, that are, I think are untrue and disparaging our election process that we're working very hard to you know, proceed well, that just discourages anyone from contributing to the station. But can I respond to that?
You should have your hand up. I will let you go before me to make your comment.
Okay.
Or after me. So there, one of the ways in which the election has been streamlined is to do as much of it online as possible and have e-ballots. There are a lot of e-ballots, I mean, there are a lot of inadequate email addresses. There have been people who have spent time calling individuals to be able to get corrected email addresses. I believe it is down to 1,000 system-wide where they're not email addresses. And so those will be physical ballots that are sent out. The physical ballots cost $2.70 each, so that's $2,700. But getting it down to that has taken a lot of hard work. I think also there's a general understanding that our membership lists are not in good shape. And there's the hope that if we can get everybody on Allegiance in future, that we will be able to really get the membership list in good shape. It's basically a one person at a time check on it. If you haven't received a ballot, if you are a member and you haven't received a ballot, there are instructions on the elections website. Okay, but I mean, this has not been an easy process, and that's true. Nancy, then Teresa.
Well, you don't need a lot of money to be fair. There are a lot of unfair things with this election that you don't need money for. And the NES required that 7 candidates from KPFT show to the NES the names and the telephone numbers of their nominators. This was not asked of other candidates in the network. Just to 7 candidates for KPFT as listeners, as far as I know. And we have no way, the candidates have no way of knowing what nominations were done electronically and the telephone numbers of those people and what was emailed to the NES. I mean, unless they sent, unless they told the candidates. So when we turned in our list, the NES, she told Adriana, oh, you're missing. You don't have enough. But the NES was mistaken. And Adriana had received a nomination blind carbon copy. It went to the NES, but the NES did not have it. And another one by straight email to Adriana and to the NES. So Adriana had proof. And with the other candidates, the NES would not tell us what the NES had. You know, she would not tell us you have only this or you have only these many people. And she did that with Adriana, but not with us. She did not tell us the nominations that she had in her hand, but we did not have. So it's very unfair to just tell us, you don't have enough, try next year. When I asked her again, could you please tell me the nominators and their telephone and their emails that you have, I have no way of knowing. And we'll compare lists of what we have. No, she wouldn't. She said, you don't have enough nominations. Try next year. Again, exact same thing. Now, with one candidate, she never put Tamika Wood's name on the candidate list. So this yeah. candidate never had a chance to get any nominations. But the NES did put this KPFT is a CAB person, Tamika Woods, she's of the Community Advisory Board, did put her name on the rejected list, but never put her as a candidate. So there was no way she could receive any nominations. And if you look on the rejected list, it says Tamika Woods, 0 nominations. Well, she could not get any. And, you know, for a woman of color, and we're doing this, we're letting this happen. And the PNB is saying nothing. The NES is saying nothing. The ED is saying nothing. Not even, oh, we apologize or something. No, nothing. This by being unequal and unfair to one candidate, you ruin You've disqualified the whole election, at least the listener election from KPFT, because it fair campaign provision in the bylaw says every candidate gets equal opportunity. But that did not happen.
Yeah. Teresa, you're next.
That's not fine, Susan. That's not fine.
No, she didn't say fine. She said time. Teresa?
Yes. These issues were taken up in the elections committee. And if there is a reason for a formal complaint, complaints should be filed. The fact of the matter is that this matter has been discussed in elections, and it's not appropriate to be discussing it during development and outreach. Can we move on?
You were doing personnel and election, and you were doing three different committee meetings. And yes, formal complaints were made, but guess who they're going to? The NES. And the NES.
Madam Chair,
point of order.
Yeah.
I have the floor.
Or orders of the day. So, Grants Task Force, Henry Faust. You still with us?
I
don't think so. Okay, Fundraising Task Force, that's Venetia. She's not here today. DEI Task Force, Sister Mama Sonia, are you still here? I don't see her. Unfinished business, none. New business, none. Next meeting, October 10th.
She had sorry, Susan. She tried to put it in the chat. She had an emergency.
Okay. That's okay. Those things happen. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
I second.
Great. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Good night. Thanks, everybody.